I'll make a brand new start of it in old New York.
Hi, I'm Sophie, and you're listening to Navigating New York, a podcast to share the stories of the Irish living and working in the Big Apple. As the song goes, if you can make it here, you'll make it anywhere. And through these conversations, I hope to shed light on what it's like to live in one of the most fast-paced cities in the world. So, whether you're currently living in New York, you're planning to move, or maybe you're just interested in hearing real stories from the Irish pursuing the American dream, I hope that you get as much from these conversations as I do. Previous guests include Irish comedian and writer Maeve Higgins, Irish singer-songwriter Damien Dempsey, international personality Connor Sketches, and complex trauma specialist Dr. Gillian O'Shea Brown. There are so many incredible Irish businesses and brands in New York, and Navigate New York is proudly sponsored by Irish-owned Therapy Clinic. Europe's number one med spa, Therapy have recently landed in New York. Therapy offer medical-grade laser hair removal for all skin types, advanced skin treatments, Botox, and much more. Therapy's mantra is simple: world-class treatments at great prices. You won't find better value anywhere else. It's so inspiring to see an Irish family business making waves in New York, and I adore going into their 19th Street location for all the treatments. They consistently have great offers and have more New York locations opening soon, so make sure you check them out at us.therapyclinic.com or at therapyclinic_USA on Instagram. I'd love if you can rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. And bonus points, if you'd like to support the show and the work that goes into this labour of love, you can at buymeacoffee.com, which is linked in the show notes. Thanks a million for listening. On this episode, I sit down with a new Irish addition to New York City, Amy Wiley. Amy from County Clare in Ireland is founder of Active with Amy, a training, nutrition and mindset program that helps clients get stronger from the inside out. Active with Amy provides one-on-one online coaching, and Amy's led international workshops on movement and mindfulness. Her mindfulness journal is also a bestseller. On top of all of that, Amy is a talented content creator and her social media presence is rising by the day. Amy's energy is infectious, and it's so brilliant to see a young Irish woman navigating New York with such drive and focus. I'm so excited to continue to watch Amy's light shine in New York, and I hope you're as inspired by her as I am. Amy, welcome to Navigate New York. I'm so excited to have you as a guest.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited for our chat today.
Good. I feel like we have so much to get through, and we're also dressed like sisters today, which makes me really happy because I feel like very lucky to have gotten to know you since you've moved to New York. So delighted to have you here. And first, just want to get you to sort of introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us a wee bit about you.
Yeah. So my name is Amy Wiley. I'm originally from County Clare in Ireland. I relocated to New York just last year, October 2023. And I am the founder of Active with Amy, which is an online coaching service for women that brings movement and mindfulness together. So my kind of slogan, if we were to say, for Active with Amy is stronger from the inside out, which I think we all should be. And then on top of that, I have wellness products that I sell, and I just work basically in the content creation, the wellness and the fitness scene. So a bit of everything there.
A bit of everything. And it's so inspiring to know and to learn about what you're doing. And I guess we'll start with the fact that you've just moved to New York and you've only been here since October. So you're only here for a few months. And I feel like you've had such an impact already in terms of like your growth and your personal kind of growth, not just your professional growth, but I feel like New York was really made for you.
I think so. And the reason I moved here was because of the city it is. Like, it's a fast pace. It's a go, go, go city. And I think it's a place where you either sink or swim. And I like that. I like that kind of, I don't know, vibe that pushes you. Like, I have a very entrepreneurial mindset or head on me, I suppose, if you were to say it, which explains obviously being a business owner. So I don't like to get complacent with things. I like to really be pushed outside of my comfort zone and see what I'm actually able to achieve. And when it came to moving here, like when it came to moving anywhere, New York was the first thing in my mind to do what I needed it to do, which is exactly what it is proving to do here, which is just amazing.
That's so inspiring to hear, because I feel like New York, as you said there, it is such a, it's almost like it's a particular taste. You know, you have to be able to absorb the energy of the city, and it can definitely, even living here for a number of years, like it can sometimes feel really overwhelming. You can feel like you can easily get lost here. But I think that like with the stage that you're at in Active with Amy, with all of your progression and growth, like you're here right at the perfect time. But I know it wasn't an easy feat for you to get here. So could you tell us a little bit about your kind of connection to New York and when you first arrived here, and what sort of you've had to get through in terms of visas and everything to be here now?
Yeah, so this dates back to 2018, and that was when I first came to America. I did two J-1 visas, so I did it summer 2018 and summer 2019, and I worked in the Hamptons just off New York. So I was kind of familiar with New York, familiar with America after that. I'll never forget my first J-1 though. I remember being here and being like, I am never ever coming back to America. It was such a culture shock. It was nothing that I'd ever known before. The people were just so different to home, like what we're used to at home. And I was like, nope, not going back. And then I obviously made a few connections the first year, and I ended up being offered a really good job the second year to come back. And I was like, oh God, I really don't want to. In the time I was living in Belgium, I remember getting the email being like, we want you to work here if you want. And I was like, right, let's give it a second chance. And it was the best thing I ever did, because that was the summer that changed my whole mindset on America and in New York in general, because I think the culture shock was over. I had experienced that in the first year. And then the second year coming back, I knew what to expect. So when I came here, it wasn't like a, oh my God, I'm thrown in the deep end. It was like, I'm equipped to deal with whatever life throws at me here or what people are like here, because they're not as friendly as we would be in Ireland, is what my experience was when I was here. So that was that. After that J-1, I fell in love with it. At that, I was meant to come back for a third J-1 to the Hamptons to work again. But unfortunately, COVID happened. So that threw the plans out the window. And then after that, when I finished college, I studied psychology and French in university. And when I finished university, I was planning to come out on a grad visa, but that fell through with COVID. So I think I let go of the whole New York thought then, because I was like, well, they're all my options gone. Like there's nothing else for me. So that was that. So then I ended up moving to Dublin for on and off for a couple of years. And then I always say last year, but it's not anymore. 2022, February 2022, I moved to Bali in Indonesia. So I lasted 5 months, but I did think I was going to live there for much longer. And when I didn't really like Bali, now Bali is an absolutely incredible place. It was just a bit too touristy for me. And the island life doesn't really suit me when it comes to growing and scaling a business. I'm very affected by my environment, hence why I'm now in New York. So yeah, I moved back home then after 5 months, and I was reassessing my options. So I was like, New York had always lingered in the back of my mind. I just didn't really know how to go about it. Long story short, I was in a pub back home in, I'm from Clarecastle, up the Magpies, that's who I am. And I was chatting to a friend of mine who lived in New York, or lived in America, sorry, for a couple of years. And he was like, Amy, based on me being an influencer, working content creation, influencer marketing, and running my own businesses, he was like, I think you'd be eligible for this visa called an O-1. Now, I'd never heard of it. I never knew about it. He mentioned how I'd need to hire an immigration lawyer. He said all this information. I drunkenly wrote it down in my notes on my phone, forgot all about it. And then a couple of months passed, and I was like, maybe I will look into this thing. But you have to be really serious when you're doing it, because it's a very long process and it's extremely expensive as well. So I ended up coming out on a little holiday visa here for like 7 weeks this October 2023 now. Yeah. So I was here for a couple of weeks, sussed it out, and I was like, I'll know within the first 2 weeks if I want to move back here, because I hadn't been back since COVID times or since my J-1s. Came back within a week, I was like, yeah, okay, we're going to do it. So I started the visa process in, like, reached out to the lawyer, I found out I was eligible, started the visa process in January 2023. Took me 10 months and I arrived here in October 2023. So wow. That is the journey.
Wow, Amy, well, thank you so much for going through it all. And I know you have a really detailed YouTube video about it.
Yes, yeah.
Which I definitely encourage people to watch if they're interested in learning more, because the whole visa process for the US is just so difficult, and the more knowledge you can get, and I think that's one of the really many brilliant things about everything you share online, is that it's really educational. And as you've said there, like, the process is not easy. You really have to want it, work at it. Like, it took you 10 months and there's so much to go through in that, like, introduction, because you've had, for only being 24, I feel like you've just had such a wealth of experience in terms of life experience, and you're obviously very motivated, very driven. And I wanted to start, I guess, by asking where you think that comes from.
I'm just naturally like this, and I do think it comes from my upbringing.
Yeah.
So I've not come from much. I come from a very low income family. We never really had much. Like, I had the best upbringing ever, but we just had what we could have. Mm-hmm. And from the age, like the minute I turned 16, I had to get a job to fund any bit of life I wanted to live, because yeah, it was just the circumstances I was brought up in. If I didn't work, I wasn't able to do things. So I think, like, I literally turned 16 and I think the week later I had sourced myself a part-time job to work whilst in school. So I've always naturally had it in me, because if I didn't work, I wouldn't be able to live a life, if that makes sense. Like, I wouldn't be able to do anything. You do need money to do things in life, of mm-hmm. course. So I think that's just always been ingrained in me. So I'm naturally just a very hardworking person. So from 16 onwards, I've always had a job. I've never gone without, even put myself through college and stuff. And I made things work when I had to. But also on top of that, I am a very creative person too. So I think hard work paired with creativity is an entrepreneur, essentially, is a content creator, is everything I do.
Yeah.
So I think they're just innate to me. And I'm so fortunate to be in the position that I backed myself in something that wasn't normal at a time to back yourself in doing.
Yeah.
Still, I suppose, isn't really. It's still kind of content creation and social media and influencer marketing is still, you know, becoming normalized. Mm-hmm. But just, I think having that, I don't know, drive to want to do more and not be where I've always been and not struggle anymore, I think, but paired with hard work and creativity, I think that's... Yeah. That's where it came from. I think I've just always had it.
And that's, it's amazing though. I think it's really important to kind of, like, sometimes, like, when you do like a life review, or, you know, if you're thinking about, like, you know, where I feel like, especially in New York, you can be very in the zone, you know, you can be in the zone for like your work, for, you know, your next steps, your progression. And I think it's really important to reflect on where you've come from. And, you know, part of the podcast and all the conversations I have on the podcast are centered around, you know, our upbringing. And I think it's so interesting to hear that you've developed a work ethic because you didn't have any other option, you know, growing up. And I think that's something that's really special about growing up in Ireland, is that the values that it teaches, you know, like a typical Irish family, you know, you're from kind of a rural part of Ireland, community and like family and things are probably, are obviously really important to you. And I think that does really come across in how you sort of, you go about, you know, your own business and being an entrepreneur, because, like, I feel very much just from watching your growth over the last few months that you don't take it for granted. You work so hard at it. Like, it's, and it comes across, you're not like, you know, you've got those values that I think are really ingrained in you from being from where you are in Ireland. And tell me a little bit about growing up in the west of Ireland. Like, is that fond memories of your childhood there?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm a proud banner woman through and through. I love
the banner.
Honestly, I love where I'm from. Like, the most amazing beaches, the most amazing scenery. I've grown up playing GAA my whole life. My teammates were Camogie and football back home. It's just those little joys. And I think actually growing up from my background, number one, but also from living in Clare, it made me appreciate the beauty of little things in life and always to be grateful for what you have. I feel like we're so quick to be, I don't know, so quick to rush on to the next thing and not appreciate where we are right now and what we have right now. And I think the beauty of, I know this is probably really profound to speak about, but the beauty of where I'm from really made me realize that. And even, like, yeah, I suppose my upbringing as well. And there isn't a day that I'm at home that I don't appreciate home for home. And home will always be home. It's just not where I need to be in my journey right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm a banner woman through and through. I love where I'm from.
Love that answer. And I think it's so important as well, because, you know, there's that sort of identity that, you know, often immigrant, like people who've immigrated from Ireland, struggle with. And it's always a conversation I have on the podcast about, you know, that sense of, you know, Ireland, loving Ireland for what it is and for all that it's given us. And just being able to acknowledge that perhaps at this point in our lives, it's not where you can be or need to be for your own progression. But I think we're so blessed, especially here in New York, to have such a big Irish community and to have the ability to fly home. You know, like, it's not as difficult as some other places. And we have, you know, obviously there's also people who can't, you know, they don't have the ability to go back home. And I think, is it important to you to kind of like to lean into your Irish community here in New York or your like Irish friends or GAA and things like that? Will you try to kind of keep that part of your life active while you're here?
100%. Irish are sprinkled everywhere that it's hard to not have that connection no matter where you go. Yeah. Every country I've been in the world, I've bumped into Irish people or made Irish friends.
Yeah.
And I've traveled quite a lot in my life. So yes, it's absolutely important. But I'm also quite aware of making friends with different nationalities as well. Mm-hmm. I love meeting new Irish people. I love being friends with Irish people. And it's very important here, of course, especially when you're getting set up. New York is a big city and I have a lot, like so many friends here, which I'm very grateful for, yourself included. Oh. One of the greats.
Yay.
But I am aware that I do like to meet other nationalities, like to become friends with more Americans here and just broaden the space. But the Irish American connection here is really strong and really important to have, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm with you there because, you know, you have done so much travel and I just think it's so impressive because, you know, last year my husband and I traveled South America. We were gone for like 4 to 5 months and, you know, we've traveled before, but probably not, well, never actually at that sort of length. And the awareness and kind of like perspective that travel gives you is just unbelievable, especially when you're kind of used to living in your professional life, you know, whereas at home, I think there is a little bit more balance in terms of like work and life. But in New York, it's very much like work. So do you feel like all the travel you've done has given you like perspective in terms of getting out of your comfort zone when you're a bit younger?
Yeah, so I moved out of home when I was 17 to go to college in Galway, and I never really lived at home since. So I think that is plays a massive role in the type of person I am. And I moved to London when I was 18. So I moved abroad and lived abroad at a very young age. And I will hand on heart say that that is probably the thing that made me the person I am. And it was so refreshing at a young age to see it because it opened my eyes to how much bigger the world is. Now, I know London is close to home. We're kind of similar. Like you can hop on a plane, you're there in half an hour. But it was more so the fact of being in a big city and being out of my little hometown for the first time. And it just really opened my eyes to all the opportunity in the world. It was so exciting. Like I started my Instagram page, for example, off the back of starting that Instagram page, I've achieved everything I have now, which is kind of insane to say. That's what snowballed it all. But I set that up in March 2017 and I moved to London that summer. And come July 2017, I had hit 10,000 followers on that page. Wow. And it was because I lived in London and I just did not care about the opinions of others. And it was so freeing to have that. And it just, yeah, it gave me such a sense of, I don't know, just doing what I wanted to do, but also being a lot more open-minded.
Yeah.
So travel is huge for that. And I've done quite a bit since then. It's just always just keeps reiterating that point to me.
Yeah, that brings us into like a really big part of this podcast, I hope, which is like something that I've been really impressed by in terms of like your content that you put out on Instagram and your YouTube videos is how committed you are to self-development. And you mentioned earlier that you studied psychology in university. And I think that, you know, travel as well, as we kind of talk about that, it's really interesting. Even myself traveling last year, you know, you're meeting, as you say, so many different cultures. I feel like you have to develop your self-awareness because you're not in your comfort zone or your sort of normal, your regular culture of Irish people. So you have to really like figure out, who am I and like, who do I want to be and how am I going to introduce myself? So I feel like travel and your degree in psychology has really influenced how into self-development you are. Would you say that's sort of a big sort of passion in terms of your own, your business and your sort of personal development?
100%. Travel probably started it for me. Again, it opens your minds to a lot of things. And I think getting out of your hometown and getting out of your home country, of course, if you're able to, not everybody is able to, and it's not necessary, but if you can, it is great.
Yeah.
And it just opens you up to the world and gets you out of your head. I think that's the main thing. Like when I traveled to Asia, for example, for one of the first times in my life, I was just, I suppose, speechless in a sense that people in Asia, for example, have not much going for them in comparison to us at home. And it made we fixate over such small problems. Mm-hmm. And it really just, I suppose, reiterated to me that the joy in life comes from the little things and the simple things. I don't know if I'm articulating that correctly, just one thing that really, really stood out to me when I was traveling. So I suppose being someone that traveled from a very young age, I was automatically opened up to being more self-aware and being more open-minded. Not that I was trying to be, it just comes from travel. You'll know yourself, anybody that has traveled, it is a thing that comes with it because you're just, you just see so many different people and cultures and just different types of everything, which you wouldn't be exposed to at home. So it started with that. And then I've just always been interested in humans. Like, I'm such a curious person. I love people. I absolutely love people. So that probably is why I went on to do a degree in psychology. Like, when I was 17, choosing a degree, I wouldn't say that's why I chose it, because I didn't know myself back then. But yeah, now I'm so glad I did, and it makes sense now. Yeah. But yeah, just, I think, yeah, from travel, definitely. And then psychology, it was just innately something I was interested in, that I luckily did the degree in it. And now it's a massive part of my business.
Amazing. And like, even from our conversations recently, like, I've been able to kind of open up to you to tell you that, like, I really struggle with time management. Like, that's one of my weaknesses. And I try to either over schedule or over plan, or else I procrastinate. And you were giving me really good tips, like, about, like, block booking my time throughout the day. And I've already started to put it into practice, and I'm being way more productive. I had such a productive morning today, and I was like, thank you, Amy. And we were chatting there as well about this new thing that you've read. Like, you always just have these pearls of wisdom. So you were chatting about the three S's. So can you tell our listeners a wee bit about how you kind of, some of the big key development things that you were by, and also how they sort of help you in terms of, like, being so, so busy and also so successful?
This one's really funny. Me and Sophie had a coffee before we came in to record this podcast today. And anytime anybody I am speaking with has trouble with something, I immediately just have this thing to help them with. And I don't know where it comes from, but this is a perfect example of it. So I was telling Sophie, I was on a call yesterday for an hour and a half with two, like, productivity masters, or people that are really good at productivity.
Yeah.
And one thing they mentioned was the three S's. So they spoke about having respect when you schedule to meet somebody. Like, you will schedule it. It's a single task. You will show up. They're the three S's. Single task, schedule, show up. So I was meeting Sophie today. I scheduled it. It was a single task, and I showed up.
You did.
I'm here for the podcast. But what we often tend to do for ourselves is we don't really have that self-respect for ourselves. We just don't do the things we have to do. And that's where procrastination comes in. And that's where, I suppose, our work efficiency goes out the window and stuff. And again, this is my entrepreneurial brain popping out right now. But basically what they were speaking about with the three S's is you have to pick a single task. So something that you know you need to do. You have to schedule it, like schedule a time in your calendar or whatever works for you, and show up and do it. And when you're doing that single task, you are not allowed to do anything else while you're doing that single task. And then when you're done the single task, you can move on to the next one. Because what often happens in a work day, and especially if you're someone that's self-employed, you'll definitely be able to relate to this, is you'll sit down to do something. You might get a message from a client, then they'll ask you a question, then you'll get distracted looking up something that they mentioned, and then you'll end up on a YouTube video looking for tips on something, and then your coffee's gone cold, so then you go to make another coffee, and then you're like, oh, I'm a bit hungry, make yourself some food, and then you'll sit down and an hour has passed and you've done 5 minutes of work. So I think this 3S thing is going to be absolutely pivotal in my life,
yeah,
for sure. And time blocking, like you mentioned, has always been something that I've really, I suppose, honed in on, because if I don't time block my days, things spill over and procrastination takes over as well.
Yes. Oh my God, Amy, hook it to my veins. Like, when you said that to me earlier, I was like, right, the three S's, I have to implement it. And again, something that you seem to really do is, like, when you read something or learn something, you don't just, like, store it in your mind. You kind of put it right into practice. Would you say that's right?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to start implementing the three S's, and the time blocks have really helped me. So these all sort of come from your business. So can you talk to us now a little bit about Active with Amy, your journals, like what people can expect if they were to start, like, investing their time into Active with Amy and the journals and all the sort of things that you provide with that platform?
Yeah, so although I have my degree in French and psychology, I also have a diploma in personal training. I have my meditation teacher diploma, and I also am qualified in sports nutrition. All massive passions of mine, and I never intended for this to be a business. It came off the back of people asking me to help them with their journey, which I absolutely would, but I'm a type of person that if someone asked me, for example, to do a program and I'm not qualified, although I have loads of knowledge, I won't do it. So I went off and got all the qualifications, and then Active with Amy was born. Now, it's a very long story, so we won't get into the nitty-gritty stuff of how Active with Amy has become what it's become now, but with Active with Amy, the coaching, with the gratitude journals, with the wellness talks I do, with everything I do with my business, it's all from a basis of helping people. Because especially when it comes to fitness and exercise and food and even mindset, it's so overcomplicated, and it's really not a complicated subject whatsoever. Mm. I was always meant to be a primary school teacher. So I think my, I suppose, passion for teaching comes out in my business. That's where it's from. That's where I suppose I've put my energy into to show that side of me, because I really, really love to educate women on this, because I can see every day, and you do see across social media, how detrimental it can be for women who don't understand these things. So when they have the education behind them, it's power. Like, knowledge is power. So that's everything I do. And mindful living and slowing down, especially gratitude, it's a massive thing. And I will always say it. It's something that I am just severely, severely good at, because I've always been able to appreciate the little things I've had, because I've never had anything drastic in my life growing up. And I think teaching that to other people really makes them appreciate where they are, and really slows them down to be more mindful. And we live in such a fast paced world that it's really important to have those moments, because life passes you by in an instant. And then, like, time just keeps on going. And you, if you don't slow down to appreciate these things, everything's going to pass you out in life. So I think that's where it comes from. It just comes from that, all of that I've discussed, but also just with that really, really big passion to help people with their mindsets, with their fitness, with their wellness and health.
And it's so true what you're saying there. Like, it's all encompassing. Like, all of those things kind of relate to each other. And I think it's so brilliant that you've combined them all, because I think, like, especially, like, you know, like, we're not long into a new year, you know, people set resolutions. I do as well. And then I'm like, I'm really trying to get away from that, as opposed to resolutions. I'm trying to be more like goal orientated, sort of make things achievable. But I know, like, even in my own past, you know, there's times where, and New York specifically can be quite a challenging place if you feel a little bit lost, and it can really make you sort of second guess yourself. So I guess in terms of, like, advice for people who maybe, like, what really comes across, I think, in your story and everything you do is that you're really focused and you're really driven. You know what it is that you're trying to do. But I imagine it wasn't always just, you know, and I know it wasn't like it was all laid out in front of you. You had to really take those steps to get things moving and take risks and do things that were uncomfortable, probably in a time where it wasn't, not everyone was doing it. So do you have advice to people who maybe do feel a little bit lost or lacking motivation or don't feel great about themselves, whether that be physically or, like, you know, mentally, not mentally, but, like, emotionally, maybe don't feel like they're brave enough to take the next step? What would be your first thing if someone came to you saying, like, I'm a little bit lost in life?
Just start. Honestly, the hardest thing you will ever do, no matter what it is in life, is to start. Whether it's a fitness journey, the hardest thing is the first time you walk into the gym. The hardest run is going to be the first run you do. The hardest thing with MCing is the first MC gig you do. And you can't expect to get better at anything you do if you don't start and do it once. Yeah. And it's all repetitions. In the gym, we do reps with exercises because that makes us stronger. In life, we do reps with whatever it is that makes us stronger. You're training whatever it is that you're focusing on. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. Yeah. And every day is a school day. And I think by accepting that, you're not going to be a pro. And this is, like, I suppose, a downfall of social media. Everything is such a highlight reel and perfect on that. Nobody is perfect all the time. And that's where Active with Amy comes in. It's like, I want to teach people that you have to start from where you're at. And you will stay the same if you stay the same and if you do nothing. But you will change if you just start and put the actions in place. An idea is nothing without execution. That comes from entrepreneurial, like, in a business perspective, but it also comes for your health, for your fitness, for your mindset, for whatever it is you want to achieve. An idea is nothing without the execution. So just start.
Amazing. This is, like, exactly what you're saying there earlier. Like, you just have an answer. Like, you have so much knowledge from obviously all of the work that you've put in, that it just, like, it's you're doing the thing that you were meant to do. And that's really, really great to see. And I think in New York, you're just going to continue to thrive, because let's also just talk for a second about how quick you've grown here, you know, and you just talked really eloquently about everything that you provide and you're passionate about with Active with Amy. How do you think New York can and will help build everything that you're building? Like, do you feel like you're in the right place at the right time?
Definitely. New York itself is a city that just keeps on giving back in terms of energy. So if I have a new business idea, like, I just launched my Active with Amy Academy, which is a new business model I'm going after right now. Stressful time of my life. No matter what you start in life, guys, it's going to be stressful. Just ride the wave. It'll pass. But yeah, if it wasn't for living in New York, I wouldn't have put the pieces together to set that up. The city itself just slaps you in the face when you need it. And it's like, let's go. People are doing stuff around you. Let's go. And that's why I moved here. It was the environment thing. Because yes, I ran a business at home, but I know living here, it's going to affect me as a person so much more from my environment that my businesses will do better as a result. And then I will be able to help more people as a result. So definitely the right move being here.
Amazing. It totally is. Like, you really feel, it feels like you're meant to be here. And I loved what you said earlier as well. Like, I thought that was interesting about Bali. You know, it seems like such a popular place. I haven't been to Bali yet. My sister has did her yoga teacher training there, and like, I can't wait to visit Bali. But I really understood there, because I think we have so many similarities.
Too many similarities. Like, literally, people keep telling us that we look like sisters as well. And we showed up in the same cardigan today.
I love it. But yeah, so I feel like Bali, but you said that like, you couldn't be productive on an island. You couldn't scale your business. And I totally get what you mean there, because I feel like environment is everything.
Everything. Like, your environment is what motivates you or chillaxes you. In an island, you're chilled out vibes. And do you know the way people plastered, I suppose, on social media, whole laptop lifestyle, I'm working by the pool. That's not glamorous. That's not fun.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be absolutely roasting. Your laptop's probably going to overheat and you'll be inside in the aircon in no time. So Bali was amazing. But what it also taught me is I don't want to live in a holiday destination year round. I want to appreciate when I go on holidays, and I want to take it in as a holiday and experience it as a holiday goer. I don't want it to be my normal, because when things become your normal that are beautiful like that, you start to appreciate them less.
Yeah.
And I even noticed it. My brother came out to visit me when I was living there, and my brother and my best friend actually came at the same time. And I was driving around in my moped, and they were, I don't know, was one on the back or whatever. We were all driving around, and I could just see the awe in their eyes. And it reminded me of what I first was like when I saw Bali.
Yeah.
But Bali became my normal, that I was then just scooting around being like, oh, this is my day today. I'm going to go to this coffee shop. I'm going to go to this co-working space. This is just my life. So I like to go there. Like, I'm actually going back to Bali in 3 weeks' time. And I do go back. I try to go back every year for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's when I appreciate it, because I'm not living there.
Yeah.
And I get to really just soak it all in, because I know it's going to end.
Yeah.
So that was a massive factor. It doesn't make me productive whatsoever.
Yeah.
But also, I want a holiday to be a holiday, not somewhere I live.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes so much sense. And like, even just speaking about being like self-employed, working for yourself, like, I've been working for myself for the last 3 years. And one thing that really, really kind of clicked with me at one point, I suppose for a lot of people, everyone basically during the pandemic was working remotely or working from home. And I realized that I need to be around other people for energy. Like, there's, in fairness now, there is a balance. Like, sometimes I need to just be alone and like just hash out whatever it is, like work on, you know, certain projects. But I definitely need to like be around people, you know, be in a space that's dynamic. And for me, that was a big change whenever I was able to start to use co-work spaces or even go to like an iSpacious coffee shop. I felt like a whole like release in terms of just getting out of an environment that I didn't feel I was being productive in. In terms of entrepreneurial tips or working for yourself, or even if you're not working for yourself, but you're hoping to kind of pursue something like a passion, what would be some of your tips for like getting that off the ground, and what you might need to adjust in the way that you're like your current habits or your current routine to sort of really fulfill your potential?
I think for the start, be okay with working stupid hours.
Mm-hmm.
I was working 60 plus hours at the beginning trying to get something off the ground. And also be okay with knowing that your side hustle or whatever business you're trying to build, it's not going to fund you for the first maybe year or so. And you will eventually have to take the risk and take a cut. So yeah, I think long working hours are normal. If you're serious about something, you will succeed. Anybody that has succeeded has done that graft, and you have to. I haven't met anybody that's just like automatically gone into something and not had to do the hours work. So yeah, I was juggling two jobs, keeping up with studying to keep, you know, my diplomas coming on, so obviously I could provide the best service. But just know it works out as well. And then when you are in, I suppose, the business, like it is your business now and you're trying to be serious about it, one thing that really helps me is just my sleep, like really, really staying on top of that. So 8 hours a night would be ideal, no less than 7. And I am most productive in the morning time. So I'll happily sit at my laptop. Now, not everyone's gonna be like this. I'm personally like this. I will happily sit down from 6 to 9 and get my first work block done. And another thing is to create before you react. We're so easy to get up in the morning and get on our phones and reply to people and react to things and respond and give energy out. Use the time in the morning to create whatever it is that you want to create. That's when the creative juices are flowing. You can do it for an hour, you can do it for two, whatever time block, there we go, yeah. Block in time that you want to do. Do that and then respond. Mm. Because responding is a low energy task, but it does take a lot of energy from you. Whereas like creativity, you need all that energy that you can get. So I think that's something that's really, really helped me. And also knowing it's okay to switch off. So if you need to go out for a little walk, no problem. Like my journal idea came to me at a 6 a.m. walk around Dublin. I got whatever, how many years ago it was now. I was like, I'd love to create this for people. And I was out for a walk and then I was like, oh, ding, that just came to me. And that's when our brains, you know, do these yes. things to us. So I think it, just being compassionate with yourself as well. But early mornings are my savior.
I love that. I think it's so relatable as well for me, because in the morning is when I'm the most productive. And if I can, like, I guess it, everyone's different. But what I started to learn when I started to work for myself was that what you're saying there as well about, like, don't be like, oh, I can't fit all this in. Like, it's normal whenever you're, you know, starting your own thing, or even whenever you've established your own thing, to kind of work on a weekend day or work late in the evening, but also like finding that balance. You're so right, because the idea for Navigating New York came to me when I was in the shower, which I
there
really,
you go. It's when you're not thinking about
you're not
it.
Not thinking about it. Like, and I just had a really good day, and like I'd done the things that fill my cup.
Yay.
As opposed to, and I think New York can be like specifically challenging in terms of, you know, making sure you have that balance. So the sleep one's really interesting, because I'm used to less sleep here now, and you think, but you're saying like 8 hours is kind of like the minimum, or 7-8 hours is what we should be aiming
for optimal adult functioning. Yeah, but if you think about lower sleep, that's going to affect your energy. Your energy is going to affect your output. Your output's going to affect what you get back from business. So I think foundations for everything comes from sleep. And I say it with my clients as well. If you expect to go to the gym and your sleep is off, you're going to have no energy. If you have no energy, you're not going to work out. If you don't work out, you're not going to progress. Also, when you're tired, you crave comfort. That comes in the form of comfort foods. You're going to overeat. You're not going to progress. The same goes for business. When you're tired, you have no energy. You are the person that makes the business go.
Yeah.
So when the energy is off, you're off. The business isn't going to keep going. So sleep, absolutely paramount.
Amazing. This is, I feel like I'm getting a free Active with Amy, like mentorship. It's just, I guess sometimes it's things that you know, and it's actually just like paying attention to them and those habits, because I feel like a lot of what you kind of, you preach, but you practice what you preach, is all about those sort of small attainable steps. And making things achievable, pushing yourself, but also not expecting massive growth or change in a short. Like, have you felt like, you know, there's been a shift in terms of loss culture and like fitness culture? Have you noticed that in terms of being both in the gym and helping people with diet?
Definitely, but not at the rate I'd hope for it to be at. Mm. That's why I have my coaching service, because it differentiates from all the different coaching services out there.
Mm.
A lot of people fixate on the physical. I never fixate on the physical body. Mm. Everything comes from the inside out. The slogan is stronger from the inside out. And when you focus on the right things, the physicalities will come as a byproduct anyways, and you will be so much happier. Because over the years, you've seen, like, especially being a female.
Yeah.
Body image, eating disorders, for example, even the demonization of a macronutrient called carbohydrates.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense. None of this is anything that needs to happen. And it comes from a lack of education, and also comes from certain, we'll say, slimming clubs teaching the wrong thing and demonizing things, which we won't get into. But I'm just there to debunk all of that and to teach you how it is and how simple it is and how much more enjoyable it can be and how much your health will benefit from it.
I love that. And that's really something I learned a lot about in terms of, like, even in myself and my own journey, was when I did my yoga teacher training. And I know, like, your meditation and your passion for that sort of that development from the inside out is so helpful to people, because even like having more open conversations with female friends, I find that it's been so interesting for me over the last few years to kind of like talk a little bit about our relationship with food. And it's even interesting, you know, as Irish people, without even realizing like what we've been brought up in. And you know, I think as well, like, we could go the whole way back to like the famine and everything, but so important to review how we feel about, you know, ourselves and our bodies, and talk and like communicate with other people and have someone to look up to or ask these questions to, which again is just such a brilliant part of your service in terms of not just Active with Amy, but just how you're practicing what you preach. So I love that. And so I guess we're probably going to finish up soon. Amy, but I wanted to ask what you see for the future, Amy. Like, so do you think this time next year you're still going to be in New York? Do you think you're going to stay in love with New York, or is there more travel plans, or maybe you're just open to what the world and what the universe is going to bring to you in the next year?
Anybody that follows me or may potentially follow me, you'll understand that I'm the most spontaneous person ever. I actually don't know what I do in my life. I just chop and change all the time. One thing I know for certain is I will see my 20s out in New York for sure.
Okay.
It's exactly where I need to be. Just turned 25. I hate saying that.
No, Amy, but, you're so young now. We have mixed listeners now. I'm like, you're so young.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's like one of those ages that you're like, no, it's like, yeah, all it hyped does. Up.
It
and
is,
then you're like, oh.
It is actually.
Oh.
It's a milestone.
It's funny,
it is.
Yeah. Yeah, age is never something that bothered me. But then my last birthday, like, how old are you? I was like, oh, I'm 29. Anyway, I'll see my 20s out in New York, and then I'll absolutely travel in amongst it. I can't really not. It's something that I love. So I actually have a trip to Bali, Thailand and Australia already planned for the next 5 weeks, starting in like 3 weeks' time. So that'll get that out of my system. But yeah, just continue enjoying life. Life's there to be enjoyed and work hard, but also enjoy at the same time. So definitely going to be in New York for my 20s, and we will have trips here and there for sure.
Amazing. Well, Amy, for anyone who wants to follow you, find you online, where can they do that?
So main place to find me would probably be Instagram. I am on Instagram, TikTok and YouTube, but follow me on Instagram and you can probably find the rest. Amy Wiley, spelled a little differently, AMIE_Wiley, WILEY.
Fab. Well, Amy, I think I speak for the collective Irish in New York to say that we're so glad that you're here and just so excited to see your path and your journey and how you navigate New York. So thank you so much. Thanks for being a guest, and it's great. It's just great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.